Hi everyone, today's Perek of Rambam is the fifth and final chapter of Hilchos Tanios. In this Perek, the Rambam goes through the fast days which might be more familiar to us, those that were declared because of a national calamity which befell Klal Yisrael on these days, and then we observe them as a way of commemorating that national calamity. Halacha Aleph. Yesh sham yomim shekol Yisrael is anim bahem, b'mnei atzaros she'ir bahem. There are certain fast days which all of Klal Yisrael together upholds because of the tragedies, the calamities which befell Klal Yisrael on those days. And the reason why we fast is in order to open up our hearts, to inspire us to repent, to do tshuva. And this should serve as a remembrance for our terrible deeds, our sins, and the actions of our fathers, which were just like our own terrible sins nowadays, to the point where those sins caused us and to our forefathers these calamities. Because by remembering these matters, we will cause ourselves to ultimately repent and return to the good path. We will do as we will confess our sins and then hopefully do tshuva. Halacha Beis. Ve'eluhain. These are the fast days. Yom Shlishi B'Tishrei, the third day of the month of Tishrei, Shebo Nera Gedaya Ben Achikam, V'nechvas Gachelis Yisrael Hanishara V'sibib Lahasam Galusam. On the third day of Tishrei, the leader of the Jewish people, Gedaliah ben Achikam, was murdered, and that extinguished the last burning ember of Klal Yisrael's remnant that remained in Klal Yisrael, and it caused them to complete their exile. Vasiri b'Teves, and on the tenth day of Teves, Shebo samach melech Bavel Nebuchadnezzar harash al Yerushalayim, Eviyah b'matzor b'matzok. The tenth day of Teves was the day in which Nebuchadnezzar, the evil Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, had laid siege upon Yerushalayim for the first time. And on the 17th day of the month of Tammuz, five separate things occurred on that day. Nishtabru haluchos, the luchos, the tablets that Moshe brought down from Har Sinai were destroyed. Ubatel hatamid mibayis rishon, and the dimes of the first base of Midash, they ceased bringing the carbon tamid. Vovka Yerushalayim b'chorban sheni, and the wall of Yerushalayim was broken through in the days of the second base of Midash. Visarav apostamas harasha es haTorah, and a particular Russia, whose name was Apostamas, burned a Sefer Torah. And finally, Vehemid Selim Hechel. And also, they established an idol in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Halacha Gimel. V'Tisha B'Av Chamish Dvar Me'irba. And the ninth day of the month of Av, Tisha B'Av, five things occurred on that day as well. Nigzer Ayisrael B'Midbar, Shalikon Tula'aretz. The Bnei Yisrael in the wilderness were decreed upon them that they should not be able to enter into the land of Israel. V'charav ha'bayis barishon v'shnia, and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed both in the first and second Beis HaMikdash times on this day. V'nokada ir gdola u'beit ar shema v'hayu ba'alafim b'ravos v'yisrael v'yitha melech gadol v'timu kol yisrael gdolei cham shehu melech mashiach v'nofal b'yad aromiyim v'neregu kulam v'yitha tzara gdola k'mo chorban by Beis HaMikdash. In addition to these, the city of Beitar, a very massive city amongst the Bnei Yisrael, about 70 years after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, which had thousands, tens of thousands of Jewish people living there. And they had a great king, Shimon ben Koziba, who some of the Gedolei Yisrael believed to be the Melech HaMashiach, to be the Messiah. And they fell on this day into the hands of the Romans, and they were all killed, and it was a terrible tragedy, comparable to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Ubo b'yom ha'muchan l'paranios harash turnus rufus harasha es heichel v'sivavav v'kayim mash nemar tzion tzadeh techarish. And the final one was that the Russia, Turnus Rufus, who went ahead and plowed over the Temple Mount and all of its surrounding area to make it totally desolate, as the Pasuk says, that Zion, Zion, will be a field which will be plowed over. Halacha Dalet. V'arba yimei tzomos ha'ilu, harihein mefurashin v'kabal. These four fast days are all referred to in Tanakh. Tzom ha-Ravi, B'tzom ha-Chamishi, etc. As the Pasuk in Zechariah refers to them. Tzom ha-Ravi says Shivasar B'Tammuz, Shehu B'Chodesh ha-Ravi. The fast of the fourth month, that refers to Shivasar B'Tammuz, which is in the fourth month. B'tzom ha-Chamishi, Zeh Tishbav, Shehu B'Chodesh ha-Chamishi. And the fast of the fifth month, that refers to Tishbav, which is in the fifth month. B'tzom ha-Shavi, Zeh Shlosh B'Tishrei, Shehu B'Chodesh ha-Shavi. And the fast of the seventh month, that refers to the third day in Tishrei, which is in the seventh month. V'tzom ha'asiri, zeh asar b'teves, shehu b'chodesh ha'asiri. And the fast of the tenth month, that refers to the tenth day of Teves, which is in the tenth month. To be clear, all those months are counting with Nisan being the first month. Halacha hei, v'nagu kol Yisrael b'zmanim elu l'sanos. And the custom of the entirety of the Jewish people is to fast during these times. U'b'yidgim ha'ba'adar, zecher l'tainis, sheis anu b'mei haman, shenemar divrei ha'tzomos b'tzakasam. In addition to those, There's also another fast day, which has been taken upon themselves by all of Klal Yisrael, which is the 13th day of the month of Adar, which is a remembrance to the fast that they fasted in the days of Haman, as the Pasuk in Esther says, that they wrote down the words of the fast and the cries of Klal Yisrael. If it happens to be that the 13th day of Adar falls out on Shabbos, so then we make it earlier, and we fast on the 5th day of the week on Thursday, which is the 11th day of the month. However, with regards to the other four fast days, the ones that were because of the historical calamities that had occurred on those days, so if they fall out on Shabbos, we push them off after Shabbos, rather than before. If they fall out on a Friday, we fast on Friday. With regards to these fast days, we don't blow the trumpets, and we also don't pray the prayer of Ne'ilah on them. However, we do read from the Torah on these days, with the Parsha in the 32nd paragraph of Shemos, the Parsha's Kisisa, which begins with Vayecha Moshe. And with regards to all of them, you are allowed to eat the night prior to the day of the fast, except for on Tisha B'Av. When the month of Av enters, we decrease the amount of joy that we have. And the week that Tisha B'Av falls out into, colloquially referred to as Shavuot Shechalba, Asr L'Sapr L'Chabish V'Lobosh Kli Meguatz Afilu Kli Pishtan Ad Sheyavar Atayinus. On that week, it's forbidden for one to get a haircut, to launder their clothing, to wear freshly ironed clothing, even if it's a linen clothing, until the fast passes. Even for one to do laundry and to leave it, not to wear, but to leave it until after the fast day passed, is also forbidden. And another element of the customs which Klal Yisrael have taken upon themselves is not to eat meat during that week, and also not to go to the bathhouse until after the fast pass. And there are some places, which is more similar to our custom nowadays for Ashkenazim, that had the custom to nullify all slaughtering. They don't shecht new animals from the beginning of the month of Av, from Rosh Chodesh, until after the fast passes. Halacha Zayin. Tisha B'Av Leilo Kiyomo L'chol Davar. With regards to Tisha B'Av, its night is the same as its day with regarding all matters. Ve'in Ochlin El Mo'od Yom. And therefore you're not allowed to eat unless it's still day on the day before. Ve'in Hashmashu Shalom Aser Kiyomo Kippur. However, the twilight leading into Tisha B'Av is also forbidden to eat, just as is true by Yom Kippur. Ve'lo Yochal Basar, Ve'lo Yishta Yayin V'Suda Mavsikba. One also shouldn't have meat or wine in the meal, which is the meal which is separating one from eating to entering into the fast. However, one is allowed to have raw, fresh wine, which had only come from the vat where it had been produced 3 days before or less. You can also have meat, which is salted, that has at least 3 days after having been made. Also, you should not have two separate types of cooked dishes. This is with regard to somebody who is eating on the day before Tisha B'Av after midday. However, if he's having this meal before midday, even though it's going to be his Suda of Sekes, is the meal which is going to divide between him eating and not eating on the fast day, at that point, since it's before midday, he's able to eat whatever he wishes. The Erev Tisha B'Av Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, if Erev Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, Ochel B'Shosa Kol Tzarko Umal Al Shulchan Afil Kzuda Shlomo, then he's allowed to eat and drink as much as he wants, and he can even have on his table a feast like the feast of the great Shlomo HaMelech. V'chein Tisha B'Av Atzmo Shechol Yos B'Shabbos Eino Mechasar Klom. And similarly, if Tisha B'Av itself falls out on Shabbos, and therefore one will be fasting the next day on Sunday, so you also don't attract anything. You can have a full Shabbos meal you can enjoy fully as you would on a normal Shabbos. Halacha Tes. Zuhi Midas Kola'am Sheinan Yecholon Lisbol Yasser Midai. With regards to what's been said regarding Tisha B'Av so far, that applies to the general populace, the Hamonam, the average person who isn't able to handle overly much. However, with regards to the early pious ones, this is how they would behave. Erev Tisha B'Av Hayu Mevi'in Lo La'adam Levado Pas Chareva B'Melach V'Shor B'Mayim. They would bring out to him on Erev Tisha B'Av a piece of old, dried-out bread with salt, and he would soak it in water, V'yoshev bein tanur v'kirayim, and he would sit right between the ovens. V'ochla v'shosa aleha kiton shamayim v'daga v'shimamon v'chia k'misha meizum utalafanav. And he would eat that bread, and he would drink it with a little bit of water in a state of worry, anxiety, feeling terrible, crying, as if he had a corpse right placed in front of him, as if one of his own relatives had died. K'zeh roi lacham lasos okar v'zeh. And in this fashion is appropriate for those that are Talmidei Chachamim to behave in, or at least similar to it. We have menu lo achanu erev tishabav tavshil apilu shel adashim el imkein haya b'shabbos. We now get a fascinating biographical insight into the Rambam's own life. He tells us that in all his days, in his entire life, he had never eaten on erev tishabav unless it had fallen out on Shabbos. He had never eaten on erev tishabav a cooked dish, even one which was made from just lentils. It just was something which he considered inappropriate. Halacha Yud. Ubaros umenikos mizanos mashlimos mitishbav. Women who are pregnant or who are nursing fast and complete the fast on tishbav. Ba'aser berchita be'mechamen be'mitzonin v'afi lehoshet etzba b'mayim. It's also forbidden for one to bathe in hot water or cold water, even just to stick his finger into the water. Ba'aser besicha shel tanug u'benilas sandal mitash mashamita kiyom kippurim. And similarly, it's also forbidden for one to anoint himself with some sort of pleasurable anointment, oil or the like, or to wear shoes, or to have marital relations, just as these acts are forbidden on Yom Kippur. Umalkum shenagu lasos b'mulacha, osin. Umalkum shenagu shelo lasos, ein osin. With regards to doing work on Tisha B'Av, there are different customs. In some places, they had the custom to allow work, and therefore you're allowed to in such a place. But if you're in a place where they have the custom not to allow work, then one is not allowed to do work. However, in all places, people who are on a higher level of spirituality, they don't do work, even if the custom in that place is to allow work. And moreover, our sages, Chazal, warned us that somebody who does do work on Tisha B'Av, though it might be allowed because that's the custom in your place, you should know that you won't see any sign of blessing from it forever. You're not going to be successful in this endeavor. Halacha Yud Aleph. Talmidei Chachamim ein noshin zeh lazeh shalom b'tishbav. Those who are sages, Talmidei Chachamim, they don't give regular greetings to one another on Tishbav. El yoshvin davim v'ne'anachim kavelim. Rather, they sit and they are in pain. They're groaning like somebody who is a mourner. V'im nasan lehem am ha'aretz shalom. And if somebody who is less familiar with the halacha, somebody who is not on such a high caliber, somebody who's not a Talmidei Chachamim, somebody who's ignorant, greets them. So then, machtirim lo b'safa rafa v'kobed rosh. Then you do respond in a soft voice and with a solemn demeanor. Ve'aser likros b'tishabav b'torah u'b'nevi'im u'b'ksuvim u'b'mishnah u'b'halachos u'b'gemar v'agados. It's forbidden to study on tishabav any form of Torah, not from the Torah, from Nevi'im or Ksuvim, not the Mishnayis, not the Gemara, not Halacha, not agadic material. Ve'eno kore el b'iov u'b'kinos u'b'dvarim haram shavir miyam. The only thing you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av is the Book of Iyov, or the various Lamentations, including the Book of Echa, or the bad parts, the sad warning parts of the Book of Yirmiyahu. But Tinoko Shavis Rabban Batalimbo, even young school children are not supposed to learn Torah on this day. They're supposed to sit idle. Umixas Acham Nogin Shelo Laniach Bo Tefillin Shel Berosh. And the Rambam tells us there's a custom of some sages not to wear specifically the tefillin shel rosh, the head tefillin. Halacha Yud Beis. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Tiknu Chacham Shayu Ba'osu Adar, She'en Bonin Le'olam Binyan Mesuya U'mechuyar K'binyan Malachim. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Chazal in that era, the rabbis decreed that one should never build a building which is properly plastered over with beautiful ornate designs as if it was a king's palace. Rather, he should simply plaster his house with the regular mortar or plaster in the regular fashion, and he should also leave a space, which is one amma by one amma, roughly 2 feet by 2 feet, opposite the entranceway, which doesn't have any plaster. Leave it unfinished. If somebody purchases a courtyard, a dwelling place, which has these sort of decorated walls. So then you can leave it in its state as it is. You don't have to peel off the walls in order to leave this spot empty. And similarly, Chazal instituted that somebody who's setting a feast, he should leave something behind. He should leave a place which is empty without any plate, without that which is fit to be placed. And similarly, when a woman is adorning herself, putting on all her jewelry, the silver, the gold, she should leave behind something which would have been appropriate to go along with these things. She should leave it alone, so that way she not be fully adorned. And when a groom is getting married, they place upon his forehead, the place where he places the tefillin, right above his forehead, where the hairline is, a little bit of ashes. All these different practices are in order so that we shall recall, remember Yerushalayim. Shneivar as pasuk says, "Im eshkachi Yerushalayim tishkach yemini, tidbach lishoni l'chiki, im lo eskreichi, im lo alas Yerushalayim al ros simchasi." We have to always have Yerushalayim at the forefront of our minds, recall its desolation, and remember that our world is lacking. Halachi yedalad. V'chein gazru shelo l'nagin b'chlei shir. Similarly, Chazal enacted that a person should not play music with an instrument. And all sorts of instrument, anything which produces sounds which are melodious, are forbidden for somebody to rejoice with them. It's forbidden for somebody to hear them once there was the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Even singing just with your own mouth, not with any instrument, over wine is forbidden. Shneimar, the pasuk says, "Bashir lo yishtu yayin," that they should not drink wine in song. However, the accepted custom amongst all of the Bnei Yisrael is to enable singing songs which are praises of Hashem, acknowledging all the good that He's done for us and the like, over wine. Afterwards, Chazal then enacted that grooms who are getting married shouldn't wear these special crowns that they used to wear at all. And in fact, that the groom shouldn't place anything as an adornment on his head, any sort of crown. Says, that the special hat, the special crown, should be removed and not worn on the head any longer. And similarly, they also enacted that with regards to the bride, she shouldn't also wear any sort of tiara, any sort of crown made of silver or gold. However, they permitted some sort of woven, twisted cords or plants that was allowed to be placed on her head. If somebody sees the cities of Yehuda in their destruction and desolate state, so he recites this pasuk, and then he rends his garment. If he sees the city of Yerushalayim in specific in his destruction, Omer, he says as follows, Yerushalayim midbar, v'gomer, the rest of that pasuk. Beis HaMikdash b'chorbano, if he sees the site of the Beis HaMikdash itself in its desolation, Omer, Beis Kachinu v'Sfartenu, he recites this pasuk, Gomer, v'korea, and then he rends his garment. U'meheichan chayev l'kura, at what point when one's journeying towards Yerushalayim is one obligated to rend his garment? Minat Tzofim, from this place referred to as Tzofim. U'ksheyagia l'mikdash korea kera acher. And when he reached the point of the Temple Mount itself, where he sees the Beis HaMikdash in its desolation, so then he rents his garment another time. If he happens to come from the other direction, from the desert, and he encounters the site of the Beis HaMikdash first, so then he rents his garment for the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, and afterwards he'll add to that, he'll continue to tear when he encounters the rest of Yerushalayim. Halacha Yud Zayin. With regards to all of these tears, one tears with his hand while he's standing up, and he tears the entirety of his garment until his heart is revealed. And you can never fully fix up, you can never fully patch up these rendings. However, you are able to fix them up in a different fashion by stitching or hemming it or gathering them together to close them or to sew them together in a ladder-like pattern. So those are permitted in a less proper, less professional way of fixing them.
Hayholichu ba liyushalayim, holichu ba tok shloshim yom, eino korea kera acher.
If somebody is frequently returning to Yerushalayim as he's traveling, if he comes within 30 days of the last time he had been there, so then he doesn't need to rent his garment again. However, if it was beyond 30 days, so then he must again rent his garment. Halacha Yudtes, the final halacha in the parak, and the final halacha in all of Hilchos Taniyos. Kol Atzamos Ha'elu Asidim Libatal Limos Mashiach. Every one of these fast days ultimately will be nullified in the days of the Messiah. V'lo Od, Ela Shehem Asidim Lios Yom Tov B'mei Sason V'Simcha. Not only that, but in the future, in fact, not only will they be nullified, they'll be flipped over into days that are joyous days, days of rejoicing and celebration and all forms of happiness. Shneamar, the pasuk says in Zechariah, Kol Amar Hashem Tzavakos, Tzomar Vi, V'Tzomar Hamishi, V'Tzomar Shvi, V'Tzomar Asiri, Yeh Leveis Yehuda, L'Sasson L'Simcha, Modim Tovim, V'Emes V'Shalom Ehavu. One day, these fasts will be wiped away, and we will only know joy and prosperity in their place. God willing, that should happen speedily in our days. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.